Welcome to Minnesota Circle. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Nicole.
Minnesota is filled with incredible gems, from the beautiful north shores of Lake Superior to the locally owned coffee shops where they greet you by name.
Join us each week as we highlight all the amazing things Minnesota has to offer. We interview local entrepreneurs and inspiring individuals, share hidden travel gems, events, and more.
We believe in the power of personal narratives and have a passion for making our communities feel more connected. At the end of each episode, we will also feature a song from a local musician.
All you need to know for Minnesotans on the go.
Hello and welcome back to episode 79 of Minnesota Circle. This is Hannah here speaking, and thank you as always for listening in, whether you're an avid listener or this is your first time. We are so appreciative that you're here and that you are learning about incredible Minnesotans, and we're just really thankful that you're here and listening. So if you aren't aware, we end every episode with a song from a local musician. And the song that we have featured at the end of the episode today is I Miss You by the local artist Kiss the Tiger. So Kiss the Tiger is a rock and roll rebirth band. They are hailing from Minneapolis. They're formed in 2016, and they have worked hard to capture the hearts of Twin Cities music lovers. With a focus on hook and melody-driven songs, Kiss the Tiger continues to push the boundaries of 21st century rock and roll while staying firmly rooted in its foundations, energetic, passionate, and raw. Vicious Kid is their third full-length album and releases 12 tracks that span the sounds of rock and roll, pop rock, and alt country. So make sure to listen to their song I Miss You at the end of this episode. And as for our guests, we actually have two guests on this episode, Jen and Joe, and they are talking about their organization that they have created called Everybody Love Everybody. I won't get into much of the details of their story, but I do want to share that we are doing a fundraiser in partnership with them through the end of April. It's called our Spread the Love Drive. So what we are doing is we are supporting Minneapolis homeless adults in a variety of different ways through this fundraiser. So you can either donate items that are needed, you can donate funds, you can choose to volunteer, you can provide letters of encouragement, whether from you or your family members, your children. And, you know, there's also some businesses that you can shop from that are donating a portion of sales directly to the drive. So there's just a lot of ways to get involved. So I would go to the mncircle.com and then click on community support, and you will learn all about the different ways you can get involved, such as our drop-off sites, where to send funds, etc. This is running until April 30th, and we're really excited to be partnering with Jen and Joe because, as you will learn in this episode, they are incredible, and we want to support them in whatever way possible. We had partnered with them for our Making It Merry drive back around the holidays, and we wanted to stay connected and find additional ways. So now I'll just let Jen and Joe take over and share their story, and thank you again for listening.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Minnesota Circle. Thank you for joining us. We have two amazing guests on with us today. We have Jen and Joe Funk, and they're going to share a little bit about their story and the organization that they started that we are partnering with to do a fundraiser currently. Do you just want to kind of tell us how you got started and about your passion for helping and serving the homeless?
Yeah, well, we're super excited to be here. Thanks for having us. We always really appreciate people helping us spread the word. So we live in Minneapolis, and so that is part of the reason why we're very passionate about it, because it's our own community and people that we really love and cherish that we serve. And so probably like 5 to 6 years ago, what we could afford, we started like a little, hi Samson, hi, do you want to make a debut? Come here.
Hi buddy.
Say hi.
People on there.
Probably about 5 or 6 years ago, we started. We didn't call it Everybody Love Everybody then, but we had started kind of just off of very little funds that we had. We would just put like a little bit of items, maybe like some clothes and food and different items in our car. And when we would maybe be running errands or different things and we'd see people out signing or sitting there, then we would stop and then let them shop for free of, you know, whatever we had. And, you know, alone in Minneapolis, there's about 10,000 plus homeless people who are homeless at any given time. And so we obviously always have known the need is very great. But then when COVID started, a ton, thousands and thousands were displaced because there wasn't near enough room at the shelters. And so our mayor, Mayor Fry, had elected some certain parks, I think it was about 10 of them, to be designated homeless encampments. And one was like 2 blocks from our house. And so we spent a lot of time there and getting to know the people. And one thing that was really humbling was the first day that we were there, we like packed all these bags and had a bunch of stuff that we personally thought that they would like in it. And when we got there, they, of course, were really grateful and different, very excited, but it wasn't items that they needed, some they already had or some they couldn't use. And so that was really humbling for us too, to know like, okay, we need to ask them what they want and what they need versus just like us thinking we know what they want and need. And so that kind of launched like us spending a lot of time driving all over Minneapolis to the Minneapolis encampments, informing community that they would let us in the camps, like getting to know people who are signing, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, and just getting to know like, what do you need? What would be helpful for you? And then after we built a long list of people of community and they trusted us, then we kind of launched Everybody Love Everybody. And so when we did it, we launched our website and thought, oh gosh, maybe there would be like a couple people who would be passionate about it. And the response has been really powerful and has really blown up. So yeah, we kind of started very, very small, but knew, you know, oh God, we can only help one or two people here and there because of the funds, and just we didn't have that many resources. And then now we can help hundreds and hundreds a week. And so that's a very humbling thing because it's just expanded. So I think we've always had a heart for it. It's just how we, yeah, they're still on here. Yes. Samson always comes with us too. And so you're kind of the leader of the pack. Yes. So yeah, I guess that's kind of how we got started, but it started really small. Really small, and now has grown decent size now. So yeah, that's kind of where our passion is. And our passion has really launched into something even different, getting to know the people, but that's how we had originally got started. So
yeah. And how long has Everybody Love Everybody been kind of up and running, would you say?
Just over a year. We started the Everybody Love Everybody part of it, where we kind of opened it up to other people the last week of January last year, 2021. So just slightly over a year right now we've been. And in that time, like we said, when we first started going out, like the first couple of weeks we went out in this little itty bitty Ford Focus hatchback with all three of us in there. And if we could get that thing filled, we're like, man, we got so much stuff with us today. Now if we try to go out with everything we have, we need like 5-6 big SUVs just to get everything filled up with everything we have. So I don't think we're envisioned it getting as large as it has. I think we were both very unsure how much response we'd even get from anybody once we opened up to everybody, what we'd even get. I think we thought even if we could get people just to sponsor enough to go out and help one or two people, like that'd be kind of cool. And just, it's just crazy. Every week it seems like it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And now it's the point where like we're down here on vacation. Jen's parents' house, even on vacation, we come down here and there's people down here already dropping bags off for us to bring back with us. So seems like everywhere we go now, we turn around and somebody's just handing us a bag of donations or donating to our Venmo or something. So it's definitely, yeah, it's crazy how much it's grown in just 1 year.
So what does it like typically look like for people that have never heard of your organization? I know you have a lot of people behind you now and you're going out like several times a week. Can you guys kind of describe the experience?
Yeah, I would say our big day is always on Saturdays. That's just because we have Saturdays off together. And so we spend a lot of the week, cause we have two full-time jobs. And so we spend a lot of the week like organizing everything. And we typically try to have pretty much like a full wardrobe for them, like shoes and socks and underwear and, you know, shirts and pants and like right now coats and gloves and hats and scarves, sleeping bags, hygiene, food, drink. So we pretty much try to like get as much as we can, for each week where they would, you know, not come and maybe to get just socks or something, but they could literally like change their whole wardrobe, and be set up or have, you know, a couple more outfits or whatnot. And we spend a lot of time organizing, and then whoever can come out and volunteer with us on Saturday. And we just drive all over Minneapolis. It's pretty organic. Sometimes we have some main spots that we go, right? Like to a lot of the encampments, but then a lot of the spots where we know they're signing and where they live and, you know, under the bridges. But then during the week, so Saturday's the big day, but then during the week, once we've have formed a lot of community with a lot of them, if they get a hold of us and they need a new sleeping bag or they're really hungry or, you know, something like that, we'll do little things like that, during the week. And then we've kind of started, you know, a big thing behind us is we want to give people basic necessities because they need that to survive. But in the bigger picture, like we want to, you know, really build like deep, deep, genuine friendships with them and community, while obviously giving them their basic necessities, and really build relationships, you know, to show them the value and worth that they deserve. So a lot of it on Saturday is like time spent hanging out with them. And a lot during the week too.
We did it a lot over the summer, when we had more time in the day, sunlight, more daytime, yeah. You know, we could go longer in the day. Once we'd go out on Saturday with, you know, our 5-6 cars, go to different encampments, it was done in the day. It was just Jen and I left. Then we would go back to the areas where a lot of people would sign, things like that. We would try to find like one individual and then we'd bring him into Target with us and kind of let them go pretty much the same kind of stuff, right? The clothes, hiding, stuff like that, but actually let them go through the store and have the experience of actually shopping for what they want, picking out what they want, you know, getting the things that they need, food, whatever. And really, and then that chance gave us a chance for a lot of like one-on-one time, getting to know people that way. But just kind of a lot of what we focus on is a lot of that choice we talk about, where giving them that same experience that we have, you know, just because they're homeless, don't just show up and say, hey, here's a t-shirt. It's like, hey, what style t-shirt do you like? What color t-shirt do you like? What size do you want? And giving them a chance to actually kind of go around. And a lot of them, you know, unfortunately, if somebody like that were to go into like a Target or a store like that now, it's difficult for them to go in there. They're instantly judged when they go in there. People are looking at them, you know, people are assuming the worst of them when they're in there. And so just give them a chance to actually kind of walk around in there. It's a hot summer day, go inside where it's cool and actually take the time to go through and get the things that you want. We saw a lot of people like that were shocked and stunned that we would do that with them. But they got a lot out of that too. So we try to do big things where we help as many people as we can today. And we also try to do a lot of little things where we spend individual time with them more so than just, hey, here's some stuff. You know, when it's a little bit nicer, we'll go like again over the summer and fall, people that we got a chance to get to know, we would meet up with them and go get them a meal. But we'd actually go with them and sit and eat the meal with them. We'd, you know, go to a park, share pizza together, kind of get a chance to talk to them.
Yeah, take them to get their hair dyed, their nails done, fall festivals, just a lot of those like relational, you know, things that,
got a lot of plans coming up for the spring for some barbecues with people.
Oh, good.
Fun. Just trying to build community in like a different, unique way, I guess. So.
Yeah. And how often we take for granted just being able to go to a store and pick out something that we like, that's like our style, it represents us, and we don't even think twice about it.
Yes.
I would like to expand a little bit on the relationship side of things. I think that's just so important to understand. It's so unique in what you're doing. And we talked about this a little bit on the IGTV, but there's so many organizations that are helping the homeless communities and they're all doing fantastic things, but it's often just donating items, dropping it off and then going. And it's not this further piece of bringing back the humanity in the giving and making those connections and realizing that, you know, you have worth, you are here, you are important.
Yeah.
So I'd like to know a little bit more about the relationships you have built with the community members. If there's anyone that maybe stands out or someone that was a little bit hesitant at first and now you've really built something strong with, I'd love to know a little bit more about that side of things.
Oh, we could tell you like hundreds and hundreds of stories. I think a lot of people, you know, like, what's up, Samson? You're back. Say hi again.
Honestly, he's one of the biggest ways we build. He is. I mean, you can see he's adorable. When we first went out, he was tiny in a car seat, like, you know, but they all got to know him. So half the people either refer to us as you know,
the people
with the baby or when we pull up, you know, like going into camps, we're like, hey guys, we got all this stuff, clothes, food, hygiene stuff. And they're like, you got Samson with you?
Yeah.
We're like, well, yeah, he's our, you know, son, obviously we have him with us, but a lot of them, like, there'll be people that'll come down and we might be at a camp for 2 hours handing stuff out. And they're just standing playing with Samson for 2 hours, and never actually even took anything.
Yeah.
You know, and so he's a big part of it for sure. Most people know who he is.
Yeah, they're like scared of us a lot or think that we're getting them in trouble or, you know, not friendly. And so a lot of it is just spent like trying to build those relationships because, you know, coming from a, you know, when I get out of a car and have things that they don't, and then like, hey, come over here. And it's just very different for them. So we spent like, it takes a lot of effort of just building those relationships. And then when you do build that trust, a lot can happen. But I'm trying to think of some, I think a lot of the ones that we'd probably refer to were the ones that, you know, maybe were, the one I can think of that we just saw the other day, that lived in an encampment and, was very shy towards us, at first. And would walk away like, hey, and walk away. And we hadn't built that trust yet. And now every time we see her, she'll just like sprint over, give us huge hugs. We were in Target the other day picking stuff up for other people. And then I saw her and I swore that was her. And it was. And I yelled her name and she just ran over and came to give Joe a big hug, and which is, then you can tell when they go up to give Joe big hugs. But
it's not uncommon for Jen to force her way in for some hugs. And when they come over and give me a hug, that's when you know that they really feel comfortable with us. So
yeah, I think it's a lot of like when they let you in their life too, you know, like more, and a lot of them, like, we've had questions a lot, like, well, there's so many people, like, why do you go back to the same spots? And I'm like, well, I mean, it's, yes, there's a lot of people and that's the goal, to help people, but we're even more about the relationship. So like, we need to go back 200 times to like see those same people. Like I think about friends in our life, like I wouldn't say, oh, I'm friends with somebody if I seen them one time, you know, like friendships and relationships are built after seeing them over and over and over and like building trust with people. That's the same as them, you know, like when we see them every single day after work and like, hey, how's it going? How is your day? And, you know, and like meet up with their kids and them or spend time with them, like those, that builds that level of trust. And then they let us into a lot more things than we would have ever known before.
And building those relationships really actually really helps us at the end of the day get more resources out.
You
know, when we first go to a camp, you know, we may get 25% of the people that actually come out to us. They're like, what are these people doing?
They're
kind of weird. Yeah. They're kind of crazy. And then we go back to the same camp. We go back to the same camp pretty soon. You know, like a lot of the camps, when I first go in there, they're like, who is this guy wandering around in here? Like, he's not part of the camp. And now when I go back in the camp, I walk in, a lot of them instantly recognize me. Like, they're like, hey, are you down in the park? Yep. You know, we're here. And then don't even have to say as much. And they just go down there right away. They start, you know, you'll see them be like, instead of running down, they'll start go to other tents and be like, hey guys,
get out, good stuff's down there.
Like, get up, you know, or we can go around the day before and be like, hey, you know, just so you know, we'll be coming out tomorrow. We'll be here around 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
Try to make sure there's people here.
Yeah.
And then now they're there waiting for us to get there at 12 o'clock. Cause they know if we tell them we're going to be there at 12 o'clock. We're going to be there at 12 o'clock and we're going to have a lot of really good stuff. So
one, like, you know, building the relationships too. Like I can think of an instance, like we celebrated like a lot of birthdays of theirs, you know, or different things. So like, God, it was like freezing that one day, I remember. And, like we had a friend of ours, we got like a she made a ton of like cakes, and then we had tons and tons of hot chocolate, and we didn't even have anything to like items to bring out, but we had we were just came to celebrate birthdays in the camp.
Hot chocolate,
yeah. So they all came out of the camp, and it wasn't how we usually do it, but it was just getting people, you know, to engage with each other in a positive way in their very tight-knit community, the homeless community is in general, but just to get them like to celebrate things like, oh my God, it's your birthday. Like, we're going to come back and we're going to bring stuff for your birthday. And so even things like that, like I celebrate my birthday, like why shouldn't we celebrate your birthday, you know, or, you know, whatever it is. So trying to think out of the box, you know, in a way like this fall we took a, you know, some families to like a fall festival with, you know, Samson, and that was so fun because it was like their kids and our kids, and they were running around, and we did like back to school shopping last year with some of them where we raised funds, and then they got to bring their kids and do back to school shopping that they never get to do as a family. Like, we weren't involved, we just got to sit back and watch them, you know, be together as a family and do stuff like, you know, you would normally. And that was so fun to watch too. So,
well, you see them so much every day. They're in this state of just absolute survival.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times they can barely even think through to the end of that day, let alone the next day. They're just trying to survive that moment.
Yeah.
And so when we can come in and just give them a break from that, like, hey, we're celebrating your birthday. It seems so normal to everybody else, but for them, they're just thinking about survival. And then you give them that day and it's like, oh, hey, there is a chance to kind of have a break from it of, you know, let's have some cupcakes and, you know, bring some levity to what's happening. You know, it's freezing cold out, but here we having some cupcakes and hot chocolate, or, you know, getting them to go, you know, when we brought them like back to school shopping, just a chance of, but you see too within those people that it provides them hope too.
Yes, hope
where
is
they
a big
feel
thing.
Where they
yes.
feel like, okay, like this is what I want in life. I don't want to stay where I'm at. This is what I want to try to get to. This is helping me realize that it is more attainable than I thought. Mm-hmm. This is something that we can really strive to get to. And you see them really start to challenge themselves and push mm-hmm. themselves to try to move towards that, you know. And so that's kind of really cool chance to kind of get to see that and just really give them a break from that of, you know, it's the lifestyle they're in is not an easy lifestyle. I mean, we're in Minnesota, they're outside in the winter. It's, you know, I can barely walk around the block with my dog when it's -10 degrees. They're out right. there, you know, we'll see people. We stopped and helped one guy. We had brought him some, we had another yeah. friend of ours who connected with was like, hey, I just met this guy. He's missing shoes. He had a stuff stolen. So we brought him out some shoes and clothes, and we're standing there talking to him, and in the process of convincing him to get new clean socks on and put the shoes on, he's standing there barefoot and just stood there with his foot in the snow for like 5 minutes talking to us, but his foot was like so badly frostbite yeah. he couldn't feel it. And we're like, come on, like, man, let's get a sock on, let's get the shoes on. But that's what they're so used to mm-hmm. and so when they're just trying to survive that every day, they can't think of anything else besides that survival. So to give them a chance to kind of get a break from that and just give them a little bit of taste of like what, you know, what could be, it really is. You see that change in them when they get that opportunity.
Well, I think too, there's a lot of negativity around the homeless. Like, you don't see a lot of, like WCCO did like a news story on us. Was that
the summer,
I think. And that was really cool because when we had done it, or like, we'll definitely do it, we'd love to do it, like, but we want to make sure it was done in like a very positive light, because unfortunately a lot of, you know, times it's very negative stories about people who are struggling with homeless. And like, man, when you get out of your car and like spend quality time day after day after day, like, they are no different than us. Like, they are humans with strengths and favorite things and experiences, and like, when you really get to know them, like, it is very powerful. And so, I mean, we're only two people, but trying to break and educate people too of like, they're no different. Like, I'll have a lot of people ask me like, well, how do you get the stuff from them? Like, you just get out of your car and go talk to them. Like, aren't you scared? Like, no, they're not gonna hurt me. Like, they're, you know, just the misconceptions and the myths around it. And I think, and we've been, we said this yesterday on the live, like, we've stood there I think hundreds and hundreds of times at this point over the year of like when people pass by and shout profanities at them and horrible, disgusting things, you can see, I mean, we're infuriated by it, but when you're already so hopeless in that survival state and then people are driving past like shouting really horrible things at you, you can just see them physically and emotionally getting like so down from it that they're some of the most incredible people we know. Like
we get that a lot where people will even, you know, give us donations and make comments like, you know, like, we're so glad you're doing this. It's something that I've always kind of wanted to do, but kind of afraid to go to these camps or afraid of these, you know, to go. And they're not scary, right? They're still just people, you know, and like for us, like you've seen Samson, he's a year and a half. We bring him with to the camps with us. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not scary places. They're not scary people. You know, just talk to them. Just even just saying hi to them, get a chance to actually get to know them. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not people that are, it's not like they're these packs of dangerous wolves running around or something, you know, it's still just people, you know? Yeah. And so for us, that's really important for us to get out is really just understanding at the end of the day, they're no different than everybody else.
Yes.
They may be where they're at for whatever reason. Any one of us could easily be in that same circumstance.
Yep.
Every one of us could easily be one or two bad things happening in our life to put us in that situation. Mm-hmm. They just happen to be there. And what we see on a daily basis when we're out there with them, once you're in that cycle of homelessness, it's really difficult to get out. Uh-huh. It's not as simple as just, oh, get a job. A lot of them, you know, when they're in these tents, things might get stolen. Now you don't have IDs, you don't have social security card. So it's not as simple as just, I'm going to go get a job, right? You need information. You need that to get your jobs. You need addresses, home addresses. It's not just as simple as, oh, get another job.
Yep.
So once you're kind of in that cycle, it's really hard to break out of that cycle. So what us to do what we can to just provide them hope, to provide them some resources, to help them survive that day, the next couple of days, to give them a chance to have a break from that survival mode to think, what can I do to get myself to that next step? You know, instead of having to worry about just the basic things of that day.
Yeah. Do you also help them with like different resources on like if they want to kind of try to move out of the encampment or how does that work?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I would say yes, that's happened on many occasions now. But only after knowing them for a long time, like building deep trust in those relationships. And then they let us in, like, you know, we've gotten to people to detox and treatment and hooked them up with housing and, you know, reunited them with their kids and, you know, just different resources of, you know, that they can access, even getting them signed up for EBT so they can get food, just a lot of different connect, like bringing them to places because a lot of them, that transportation piece. And so, yes, definitely that would be a goal. Yeah. But I would say you got to like work at really getting to know them and build their trust first. And then that has happened quite a bit. Yes. So, yeah, I think that, you know, where we come from is like a there's no secret motive. If you don't do this, we're going to keep loving on you regardless. But sometimes, yes, that will be kind of the natural progression that, like, you know, they'll want to seek more resources. Yes. So, and a lot of them have been like long-term homeless, like 5, 10, 15, 20 in poverty for generations. So, homelessness is a very complex thing. Definitely, very complex.
And we've seen with helping them get some of those resources too. A lot of those resources are confusing and hard to find for them.
They are, even us.
We have the ability of, oh, you want help finding here? Okay, well, let me sit in my nice warm home after dinner and pull up my internet and Google and try to find it for you.
Yeah.
And it's hard for us to find it. Like, how are they supposed to find all those resources, you know? And so it's not always easy, but yeah, you know, definitely Jen has a history of actually as alcohol and chemical counselor, so she knows a lot of these resources when they want that kind of help. But if they want other kind of resources, we will take the time to help them try to find those resources, connect them to it, try to help them call around if they need a ride to get somewhere, give them a ride somewhere. Definitely, we, you know, it's not something we do when we go out. We don't like handing out information sheets, but if they come to us, we'll absolutely try to help find those resources for them.
And some of it is just transportation. Like, you know, like, hey, I want to like get started with this, but you know, like I got to get from here or here. And the busing system is confusing. Like, or this bus lane doesn't go here. Like, we're just going to pick you up and bring you, you know, or you need to go to this appointment, like kind of be the, like take away that barrier. And then that, like, course, like we said, it helps when we have good rapport with them, for sure. So
yeah, I think people just think it's so simple, like, well, why don't they find these resources, and why don't they get a job, and why don't they find a shelter or a house? And it's like, strip away everything you have and then try to dig yourself out of a hole
while you're trying to stay warm and not freeze.
Get food. It's a very complex, and I think if we hadn't been, you know, in it, I've worked in a field with it for a long time, but even just spending, like, hearing their stories, knowing their day to day and really getting to know them, like, you understand it even a lot better than just kind of the textbook, like, oh yeah, it's complex. Like, when you hear, I'm like, ooh, every person could have out there like a 10 person team to try to like get them out of where they are and get them in a more stable space. But man, you would need like a hell of a team to do that. And that's just for one person. So yeah, there's a lot. I mean, it's just a very complex. So yeah, like you said, stripping away all the stuff. We always, like when we drive back to our home, you're like, dang, I'm so grateful for my bathroom. I'm so grateful for my stocked fridge. I'm so grateful for my car, my bed. Like, even when we give them sleeping bags, they're like, oh my God, thank you so much. Like, I'm like, man, you're still sleeping on the ground though. You know, like the things that we, you know, complain about or this or that, like how you said, going to a store, you know, that is a very powerful, things that we take for granted have become very seen as great blessings, for sure.
Yeah. And there's just so much that you guys are doing and helping spread light on. It's just, I'm so grateful for all that you guys do. I sometimes get a little bit of loss of words. I don't know how to say it, but for people that are wanting to help, how can they get involved with you? What are items that are generally most needed? And can they come join you on Saturdays? What does that look like? How can people help?
Yeah, so that's a great question. We get that a lot. So our website is just, we update it by season. Like almost everybody that we meet will only go by season. And so like we're coming out of winter, so we'll get rid of all our winter stuff here in the next week or two, and then we'll go into our spring stuff. So the website will be updated. Some will be, some like hygiene items will need like year round and things like that. But most of them will get updated by season because they only carry around what they can carry like in a backpack or two. So that's a good place. That's everybody-love-everybody.org. Our son Samson is the main photo surrounded by a bunch of bags. And then we have a Venmo. I would say like financial funds are one of the biggest ways to help because, well, first of all, 100% of what we get through Venmo like goes directly to purchasing things. So we don't take a dime out of it. And so people who give, like how we said yesterday, you know, with you, like it'll get used like immediately for somebody in need. And so a lot of times on like Thursdays and Fridays, we go out to the store and like we first survey like what we have missing, like where the gaps are. And so if, you know, I used this example yesterday, like I can't go to a camp, we can't go to a camp if we're missing all men's extra large and two extra large clothes, because we're going to, there's a huge gap of men there that we're not going to be able to serve. So we're going to use a lot of the funds that we have to get them coats and shirts and pants or whatever. And so we use the funds per week of where the gaps are. Like, if we don't have any sleeping bags this week, then we'll go and get sleeping bags. Or if we don't have food or drinks or whatever the need is. And then we also use those funds for like organic, like when we see people in need. And a lot of times that happens when we're actually not out doing Everybody Love Everybody. Like, this happens to us quite a bit. Like, let's say we're going to go to the mall for something. We see people at every exit. But then it's like, okay, shoot, like they're barefoot or their shoes are full of snow because they're broken. Like, all right, well, we're going to pick you up, bring you to Target and get you some new shoes. And we're going to use the funds we have. And, or like, hey, we got this family living in a van. Like, we don't have anything, you know, like, let's get them, use it for, you know, a couple nights in a hotel or get the kids new clothes or, you know, whatever the need is. Like, or we've run into a lot where they haven't had food or drink for a long time. Like, well, we're going to use that money to go buy them a quick meal at their favorite place. Or so a lot of it is used to fill the gap financially. And then a lot of it is also used to do organic things when the needs come up that are a lot. But then we have the funds, else we wouldn't be able to do that. And then people donate a lot of either new items that they purchase, or we do accept used items from the website is too, mainly the clothing. But we just always ask that everything is of excellent condition because we're treating them with the utmost value. And so we don't want to give them something that looks like trash or that, man, I want to give this because I don't wear it anymore in my closet. It is amazing to us when we like see the people and they pick out new things or almost new, and then they start changing into them and how their demeanor instantly changes. So it would be horrible to give them items that were like stained and ripped and dirty and like, ooh, that would be of no value. So our big thing is that choice, like Joe was talking about, but the of value of really nice items, and they know that too. So yes, definitely new is the best in that financial piece, but we take a lot of used. We just ask that it's, you know, in really good condition. And then we always kind of like Joe said, like we sort everything. So when we go out, it's not just like, here's like all bags that you have to look through. Like we have, you know, women's large, women's extra large, men's, like they're all labeled by sizes. And so if we come up upon people and they only need clothing and they know their sizes, well, we can just direct them right towards that. Or they only are hungry and need food. Well, here's the area for that. Or, you know, cause we'll stop and take it all out of our cars. So yeah, I would say by season, if you look on the website, but that Venmo is key because it, and we always start over, like we said yesterday, every single week. So pretty much every week we're at zero in the funds and we're at zero items in our house. Our house looks like a hoarder house on Saturday mornings. And then by the time we're done, we come back and there's no items hardly. And then we just hope that people will donate funds and items for the next week. And then miraculously it always shows up. And so then we just keep repeating it. So that's always helpful. And it is really helpful then when we can like get it for a few weeks at a time. Cause then we can spend more time with the people and less doing the backhanded like sorting and organizing. And cause that can be pretty, you know, long process. So
I'd say within the items too, like the biggest need, men's underwear,
yeah,
men's
boxers,
large, men's extra large, men's double X.
Yeah.
Those are items we never can have enough of. Those things are gone so fast.
And yeah.
Those are ones that we don't always get in right away. So a lot of times when we are filling the gap, we're running up to Walmart quick. We're wiping out every extra large and double X they have of pretty much everything.
Yes.
Those are really the big ones. Backpacks.
Yes.
They love backpacks. Yeah. There's times where we'll get a good amount of donations of backpacks. We bring them out. They absolutely love the backpacks. If we don't have the backpacks, we'll get like big reusable bags that they can put their stuff and carry it in. But when they get those backpacks, man, they just hit the lottery. So
right.
Those are probably the biggest ones of need within those items for sure.
Yep. Yeah. I think it changes and we'll update, but sometimes like on our Facebook, we'll do it a lot and we're trying to think of other ways to spread the word. But, the doorbell just rang.
we're getting stuff dropped off.
More donations right now. So I would say that we put out the needs too, like how I told you yesterday, Hannah, like, you know, like there's a mom that lives in the Camet that we know really well and she's pregnant, just getting into housing, but like has nothing. And so putting out like, hey, we need lots of funds and items to get her a rocking chair, get her, you know, like a crib, get her all the breastfeeding items, all of that. And so we will use a lot of that. And then everybody.
That's a perfect example, too, of when we talk about when we use all the funds. So like when we specifically reached out and said, hey, this person, we're looking for funds because this is what we want to do with them. And when we go over that goal of what we need for them, we then still use that money on that person. Like that funds were for that person. So it's like, oh, great. We were able to get them, you know, these things they needed. And now we have extra money that came in. So now we can get them a good rocking chair or a good crib. So that money that comes in, everything that comes in goes right back out for the people.
Yeah. And yeah, then the needs just kind of switch by week. But a lot of the stuff, it might be like we go to the camps and like we've had it before where it's like, you know, somebody's a size 16 shoe and we're like, damn, we don't have a size 16 shoe, but we've frequented the, is it in St. Paul, the extra large feet store where we find people in the camps or out about, we don't have their size, especially for shoe, then we'll ask for more funds or use some of our funds and like go to the extra large feet store or something. And then, you know, and that builds trust too. When they say like, oh, let's find you some shoes. Like, oh, you don't have my size. Well, what size are you? Like, oh, 16. Yeah, we definitely don't. But I will promise you in the next week, we will go get shoes for you and come back. And then fulfilling that promise and showing up, it's like, they're like, oh my God, you really did what you said you were going to do. So that builds a lot of trust too. But really, and like, how, remember how I mentioned in the beginning, like what we thought they needed, that is a big part of it. Because I think you can search on any website, like, what do homeless people need? Like, and those are great. So like a lot of it they do need, but a lot of people ask me like, what? I see people out signing, like, what do they need? I'm like, I don't know, ask them. Because every person, you know, and we found a lot beginning even with the food, like people have allergies, a ton of them have diabetes, like, you know, just different, and by culture, different foods. And so really being mindful and like collecting like tons of lists of like, okay, they wanted this, they wanted this, like, and it, a lot of it was never what we thought it was going to be.
We do really, that when we go out, when they come through like the line, we ask them, you're like, hey, you know, did you get everything that you need? Was there something that was missing that you could really use?
Yeah.
And then we try, you know, keep that in mind for the next week, or when we go through the food, like, hey, is this, was there food in here that you liked? Is there food you don't like? You know, and then kind of, you know, over the time, kind of tailored and find the items that they do really like, and then ones that they necessarily don't like, you know, don't keep getting those ones. So that way, when we go out and we are purchasing these things, or we are bringing things out, they're taking everything they want because it's everything they want.
Yeah.
And it's needed and it gets used. And, you know, it doesn't do any good to give them, you know, a bag full of food if they eat one thing out of it and ended up just leaving the rest of it somewhere. So
yeah,
we really try to, you know, ask that question a lot. And that's something that anybody can do. You see somebody out signing wherever, just ask them like, hey, what's your name? What can I do to help you? You know, they'll let you know. They'll let you know what they need.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's very simple things. That's things that you might, you know, take for granted, but it's, you know, real, real simple things. They might say something like, man, I could really use another deodorant, you know. It's not, you know, they're not asking for crazy things.
No. Yep. Choice is really, you'll hear a lot of them say too, like, oh, well, like, okay, like we're gonna, you know, if we see a lot of our friends out signing or, you know, sitting on the bridges, like, we're gonna get you a meal quick. What do you want? And they're like, oh, you pick. Like, no, I'm asking you, like, what do you like? What would you want? We have a car. We can go anywhere. And then it takes a little coaxing. Like, okay, well, I'd actually really like, I like this. Like, great, because then when I go get it, I know it's your favorite versus like, I'm just going to go, you know, here and get you something. Like, that's always good too. But I don't know, choice is a big thing in life in general that, you know, equates to value. And I just want that, we just want them to feel like you have the same amount of value. Like, unfortunately, you're not treated like that a lot. And that's something we'd love to see changed, but in our city, but like, we want you to feel that you have the same amount of value, you know? So yes.
Would you recommend asking if you can get them something versus just handing them a few dollars? I mean, I see people handing money out their windows, like if they're at an exit or something. What's more valuable, asking them if they need some items or handing them money?
I think you could do both. A lot of them use the funds for like things that they need. Like, we'll go to them like a lot, like they spend it on groceries, or, you know, they'll go and, you know, buy like hygiene items or whatever. And sometimes we'll take them to go do that, you know, for the transportation piece, so they don't have to walk there. But I think if you have that, that's great. And some people like are like, well, I don't have that, or I don't want to do that, but I would, you know, could get them something else. Then I would just say, ask them, you know. I think that I've never had anybody that doesn't directly say, well, this is what I need.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. So, and they're very like humble and generous. And so a lot of people ask us that, like, oh my God, when you go, do they take like everything? I'm like, no, they're very, very generous. Like they'll look around and like, oh, there's a lot of people here, I'm going to only take a couple things. And man, I just like, that always amazes me, and the people who come out too, because then you look at your own wardrobe, like, man, I have a million clothes and shoes and items in my house that I don't need. And they're very, you know, looking out for each other. One of our favorite, she's one of our, oh, I just love her to death, but it was one of the very first people we met last year when we first started. And
so second week out, yeah.
Yep. And we see her all the time. You guys would just adore her, but she is a size medium, and we didn't have a lot of medium stuff that day, and she got like this super nice coat and all new clothes, and she was really excited. She went through every single bag, and then we had stopped kind of by the highway, and then just people just kept coming and coming and coming that were signing and under the bridges and stuff. And then a lot of the women kept coming over and were like, oh, I'm size medium. And I'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry, we don't have, you know, any mediums left. And then I just would watch her like take things out of her bag and start like, I have three shirts, like here, have a shirt. And by the end of it, she had nothing left. And so then we took her, and then like, well, then you don't have anything, girl. So we got to get you some stuff. So come with us and we'll take you to Target or wherever, because you just gave away all her stuff. But she didn't know we were going to do that, you know, but she literally gave everything away. So that's a really power, like, that's why it's hard for us when we hear negative things spoken, because I'm like, man, they have traits that like a lot of us don't even have to begin with, you know. Mm-hmm. So that sense of community and looking out, and very humble. And so yeah, they're very incredible people. But to your question, I would say either. I think whatever you're comfortable with, but if you're going to get them something like you know, physically, I would just ask them. But I think money is great too, because that's how they survive, you know.
And one thing too, especially if you are just driving, you see somebody and you don't have anything, don't have time to go get something. That's something that we learned from them early on in the beginning. And they'd say, like, people would drive by and like not even look at them, not even acknowledge them. Yes. A lot of them are just like, even if you just roll down the window and say hi to them when they're standing there signing, that makes a world of difference. And when the person originally told us that, I was like, oh, that makes sense. You know, I find myself a lot of times too, like, I feel awkward looking at them if I don't have anything, because then I feel like they might think I have something. But then you realize that if nobody is acknowledging you and you're looking at you, you know, like, it makes you feel really down about yourself.
Yeah.
And then the more time we spend with them and realize that they do get comments a lot of times, but they're very negative comments.
Yeah.
So to outweigh those negative comments with positive comments, you know, it's not difficult to just roll the new one and say, hey, how's it going? Like, you know, love you, keep it up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, encouraging things. It takes no time to do that. Yeah. Your money, you don't have time to go. Just roll down your window. Even if you see them, they're going to roll down the window. Just give them a wave, a nod, smile, like any kind of positive interaction. It's huge for them. They tell us that all the time.
Yeah. Some of them will joke, like, I'm addicted to signing because I like really love when people like will say hi to me. And like, I just like the social aspect. And you think like, damn, how many times, you know, in the past have I driven past and just like, didn't even say anything, let alone like, you know, like, and they will never get mad if you don't have anything. It's just that human connection of like, we think about how many human interactions we have in a day. And like, if they were all negative, man, I don't know if I would have the will to keep going. So just being able to have that positive human, like, you matter, like, I am so glad to see you today, like, that is really a powerful thing. Like Joe works at a store in Minneapolis, and so they know he works there, and they just will come and like say hi to them, like, you know, just come.
Some of those ones we built relationships with, we, you know, they know where I work. I'm general manager of a grocery store, and tell them like, hey, you guys need some food, pop in, you know, we can give you some groceries. And we tell them that, and then I'll see them come in and they literally just come in to say hi.
To hang
they
out,
don't
yeah.
Even, don't even get any food. They're just like, we're walking by. Yeah. They knew I was in there. They'd come in, you know, and it's kind of become a thing, you know, with even a lot of my staff, they know which ones they are. Now they come in, they're like, oh, Joe's friend's here, you know, like, let, yeah. you know, we'll let Joe know that they're here, you know, and it, again, it gives them that, you know, that positivity of a space where maybe they don't always feel welcome. Now they can just like walk in there.
Yes. You are welcome. Know. Yes. And you are our friends. Like, we'll say that all the time. Like, you are our friends. Like, you're not homeless people. Like, you are our friends. Like, some of, I mean, I would consider a lot of them like good friends, good yeah, friends. I mean,
there's quite a few of them that probably know us better than some of our, you know, like,
yeah.
we're down and seeing Jen's parents on some days off here, and we'll get some text messages from some of them, but like, hey, you know, have a safe trip, you know.
Yes, so. Very caring, loving. Oh my goodness, yes. They would have our bags in a minute if we needed help for anything, I guarantee it. Yes, yes. Yeah. Just stripping away the stereotypes, you're like, you find the same humans that we are, you know, so.
And it shows in everything that you guys do, like the authentic, you know, what you're doing this because you love and care. And, you know, it's not just like a pat on your back, you know, like you can yes. see that when people are interacting with you. And we touched on it a second, but for people stopping in the car that don't have anything, you know, ways to brighten someone's day. Yeah. What if you want to take it further than that and you don't have money to give or resources? What are other ways that you can get involved if you want to help in some way but you just don't have a lot of your own items to give? Would you just showing up at the community and just kind of saying like, what can I do to help, is that something that would be like a value, or like
yeah,
what would people do in that situation?
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, ours is a big, like, you know, at least for our organization, like, we can't function unless we have people help us, because there is so much. So even, you know, like, if you can't give any items or funds, like, just your time. But we've seen that a lot of, you know, you have deeper conversations with people on the street than more in our own lives by far. And so, I mean, I think even if it, like, especially with like spring and summer coming up, like, man, if you see people, like, whether it's like you're driving in your car and just get out and like, hey, can I like hang with you for a little bit? Or like, if you see somebody and you're like, you know, I'm gonna, like, we do that a lot of like, you know, if we're gonna go to a restaurant or something, we see people like, hey, do you want to come eat with us? You know, like, just come on, you can join us. Or, you know, just things that are like you're doing anyway. Like, invite them with you, you know, like, if you're gonna go hang out, you know, and play soccer at a park, like, maybe they want to come sit with you. A lot of them, I think, is like, if you don't have the funds and you don't have the, you know, the items to give them, time is a big one, you know, like, just even spending time, I think, is a big resource that they love. You know, but wouldn't you say just yeah, the time?
And, I mean, with that, I mean, I would say the biggest thing is, you know, don't be afraid to approach them.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times, you know, I'm not, you know, I wouldn't walk into a camp and just open up somebody's tent flap and be like, no. Hey, let me jump in there. That's their house.
Yes.
You know, especially if you see somebody out signing or on the street, you know, don't be afraid to approach them. They're somebody else, but more than likely there's somebody else that could use some encouragement, attention. Yes. You know, don't be afraid to approach them. You're like, hey, what's your name? This, you know, who, this is who I am, you know, tell me a little bit about your story, you know, like, they'll, you know, they enjoy that interaction and having people yeah. talk to them, you know. Yeah, and just that, you know, like, just to feel that value and respect, you know.
Yeah, I think just like getting comfortable with that they're the same people just in a different circumstance, you know, is a very, like, some of them, a lot of them will tell their names, like, we know most of all their names, but like, some of them will be like, I don't want to tell you my name, like, that's cool, like, just say your name and they're like, hey, like, how you doing today, like, you know, like, if I could ever bring something back, like, what would you want, even if you didn't have anything at that time, or just like to kind of get to know, you know, or like, this is kind of our like daily thing, but like, once you kind of get to know people, if you live around it, or every week you go down and, you know, go to the same restaurant or whatever, like, if you pass people numerous times and are like, hey, and then you say their name the next time, ooh, that makes a big difference. You know, not just a, hey, you're a person out signing or sitting here, like, I know you, friend. Like, hey, Joe, hey, you know, like, it's just a big difference. So I just don't be afraid to, like, get out and go talk to them. And I think they would be able to really tell you, you know, even if you literally said, like, I don't have any funds right now, I wish I did, or items, like, is there anything else I could do, you know, that would, you know, make a difference for you today? Or they'll tell you for sure. Mm-hmm. Most of them are very blunt, but that's good, because then, you know exactly what they need. So yeah, I think time, like, even time is a big commodity to them, of just spending. When we did that WCCO interview, we did it with two of our really, really good friends. The ones actually you sponsored for Christmas this year. And it was really cool, because one thing they had said in that, like, it was that we were really surprised that they kept approaching us and, like, you know, wanted to hang out with us and, you know, those types of things. And it's really interesting to, like, hear them say that after, like, we've been with them for so long, that that's what they, more than any items that we've given them, like, they just, like, hung out with us. Like, they weren't scared of us. And we've definitely seen it where people may be like, oh, I have, you know, I got you this, and they'll just kind of, like, drop it at them and then, like, run and leave, you know, like, that's really nice you did that, but they just want you to be like, hey, like, what's your name? I gave this to you. And that really builds, like, a different sense of community, because truly they're our neighbors, you know, like, they are our neighbors. Like, they may not have homes, but they're our neighbors, you know, so treating them like that. But I think that's a really good question. You know, if you don't have the, and, you know, like, for us, like, when we started, I mean, it was so small. Like, it would just be when we were at the grocery store, like, let's pick up, like, five items, like a bag, you know, maybe a bag of variety of chips and, like, a couple things and, like, four shirts and see if we can give them out. Like, it was so small, and they were so thankful. So I think I'd encourage people too, you don't have to be a millionaire to start something, you know, that people really want to, like, you know, make a difference, because truly people just want to be respected and valued. That's probably been the most humbling part for us.
I would say a lot of the ones that we have grown the closest with, that's a lot of what it is they've really appreciated the fact that we've taken the time to get to know them, that we actually, you know, like, they say that a lot, where they're kind of, like, surprised when we first come up. People are always like, you know, what's their angle? What are they trying to get at? You know, it's like, no, we're here to hang out with you. And they're like, why would you want to hang out with us? Like, well, I wouldn't want to hang out with you. And then keep doing it over and over, where then now, you know, like, a lot of them will open up more and more and more with us, you know, the more we keep being consistent with them. And kind of, it's the same kind of thing. If you just take the time to talk to them, just take the time to get to know them, you'll find out there's plenty of things that you can do to help that person that don't really require a lot of time and don't really require a lot of money.
Even things like, you know, like, if you had a vehicle, that's a big one, because a lot of them are like, man, I would love to, you know, like, go to this, but I don't have transportation there, or, you know, whatever the case is. Like, even if it's to, like, you know, like, to an appointment, or to, you know, whatever. I could think of a lot of examples. Like, even like, hey, I'll give you a ride or something, like, that's a, you know, a big one. Or just, I mean, really simple things go a long way. So I think knowing that they, it's a very, like, especially when people are out signing, it's a very, like, hard thing to do, to go out and sign. Like, it's a very hard thing to do. And so I think when you get negative, they get negative comments shouted, like, oh, it's so easy, you're just taking advantage of the system. Like, man, if you heard their stories and what they've been through and how it's, like, generational, and, I mean, you would, it is very, very hard. And I mean, we say this all the time, like, they are a million times stronger than we are. Like, oh my God.
I wouldn't last a day in a tent encampment, living outside in this weather, going out and signing. Like, there's no way I could ever do that.
They have a grit like none other. Yeah. Oh my goodness. So, yes. And we love to find out things that are like, you know, like what's your favorite color? Like, what are some of the favorite things you've, like, good memories in your life? Like, what are your favorite meals? Like, what are, you know, like, just things that make us all us, but that we don't really focus on with the homeless community. You know, it's just like, oh, geez, they're out signing. Like, you know, like, I don't want to say hi to them, like really getting to know them as a person. But man, I think of like, even in Minneapolis, like how many people drive by people every day that you see, whether they're sitting there or, you know, signing or under the bridge, whatever, if like they had like 10 to 20 good interactions every day, I can't even imagine the hope and the difference it would make in people's lives, you know? So, yeah, I think just, yeah, I know we're repeating that enough, but just that value is the biggest, you know, thing of people want to, I mean, I want to be seen. You want to be seen and heard and valued, you know, so.
Yeah, that's really good advice. Thank you for that.
Yes.
And if you're looking for ways to donate monetarily or items, you can always visit the Everybody Love Everybody website if you're listening and you want to help.
Yeah.
And too, like you mentioned a couple of times, like if you have interest in volunteering or whatever, you know, our phone number is listed on the website too. Like, don't be afraid to reach out. You know, we can.
Yep.
I'm sure there's, you know, if people want to come out and help, we can find ways for them to help us out, you know, be very beneficial. Or, you know, even if you're like, hey, I got an idea of, you know, I'd like to do this, you know, would this be beneficial? You know, just don't be, the number's on there for a reason. Don't be afraid to reach out.
Yes. Yeah. That's why we really appreciate you guys. Cause we've kind of really, I think everybody in our lives really knows, but really banking on other people spreading the word of like, you know, like, hey, like, let's really change this community where people feel valued, you know, and really feel like they belong here. Just getting that word out. That's why we're so thankful for you guys. Cause,
it takes a village.
It takes a village. Yes. And to really, and how many millions of people there are of like, if we all do a little bit, you know,
it's not
a humongous difference.
Yeah, it's not something that'll be solved overnight. You know, homelessness is, there's a reason it's as bad as it is across the country, and just being able to take the time to build those, you know, get people moving in the right direction. And so the more people willing to help, like to help these people, you know, from top to bottom, I don't think there's a single person we've ever talked to in the year doing it that said, yeah, I love being out here.
No, I
love doing this. I would much rather do this than anything else.
No.
You know, in fact, it's the other way where they're like, you know, I can't do this anymore. I need, you know.
And a lot of it is just trying to get them like, hun, like, let's try to get you to live one more day. You know, like, let's try to get you to survive one more day. Cause man, it is grueling no matter what the season. So yeah, I think any partnerships we're so thankful for. And we would love to, you know, keep growing it in a way to, you know, really get, I mean, I think of the woman who was, you know, she's due on Monday and probably will have her baby this weekend. Like she was texting us this weekend. Like she is legit. She just moved into her place and she's pregnant the whole time on the streets and in the tent encampments and just got approved for housing. Right before baby comes, and we're going to go tomorrow when we get back and give her the rocking chair and the crib and all the items. And she's just like, I literally can just focus on being a mom now. Yeah. Like,
I mean, imagine
I don't have to think about
pregnant outside and when it's 10 degree weather. And, you know, now she's got housing. She's got, you know, she was able to get a small amount of things that, you know, when you see it, you're like, that's not, you know, you need way more than that. You know, when you have a baby and, you know, we're excited because when we, Saturday, we're going to go bring a lot of that stuff over and set the crib up and the recliner.
Yes.
And like, she's already sending us pictures of like the baby room with the few things in there, like really excited, you know, but she's got so much hope, you know, moving forward. And that's somebody, I think we met her the first time in the beginning of the summer.
It was about a year ago. Yeah.
So we've known her for quite a while now and just got a chance to really build those relationships with her to the point now where, you know, this, you know, this is just watching her, just the excitement she has for this baby coming in, you know, like a new mom should be able to, you know, you should have that excitement of like, well, I'm going to bring my baby home to the room and just focus on being a mom and be able to provide that for her is just.
And I think too, like they, you know, like you guys spreading the word and other people, like whether it's donating your time or funds or items, like, we'll say to them, like, this is not us. Like, we're, I mean, we're in, we invest all our time and resources we have, but like, hey, you know, like, there's a huge community behind us and doing this. And like, for them to know, like, man, more, like, that's so cool. You and Joe care about me, but like, there's other people that care about me. Like, for them to know, like, man, you're worth a lot. Like, that really, like, especially, like, we're using this example, but like, the, you know, the lady who's pregnant, like, oh, I just love her. She's such a gem. But for her to know, like, you know, hundreds of people helped make this happen for you. And for her to know, like, damn, like, I am going to be a good mom. I can do this. Like, people are believing in me and they're setting me up, like, to us, like, that's community, you know, like, it's not just, hey, we gave you a shirt once, see you later. Like, we really want to invest in your life. And like you said, it takes a village. Like, man, when we come together, some really cool things can happen. We've seen some really cool things when you get to know them and really, you know, go back. And so it's just cool. A lot of things can happen when the community comes together, you know, so makes us really excited. Cause my God, there is, I could do this 24 hours a day and never sleep and, you know, only a blimp on the radar. So it's a really, we feel very humbled to meet them and then feel very humbled of like how people that want to get involved, because it really, you know, I tell people like, yes, you know, like people, like, I only have like $5 to give. I'm like, I guarantee I can find something for $5 to use that will make a difference in their life.
Or, and like 20 people give us $5. It's $100.
Yes. Like, so it's like very powerful. Like, you're just not investing in an item or what, like, you are changing their life, because, you know, providing value and worth to somebody is a powerful thing, you know? So, yeah. So we really appreciate you guys for sure.
Yeah. And we appreciate all that you do. And thank you so much for sharing your insight and for ways that we can get more involved. And, yeah, just thank you for all that you do. And I hope people listening could take some of it to heart and reach out and see what they can do to be a part of your organization as well.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Looking for more ways to learn all about the incredible things Minnesota has to offer? Follow us on social media at Minnesota Circle or subscribe to our newsletter at themncircle.com.
If you wish to have a song featured on the podcast, please contact us. Loved this episode? Then subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Join us next time and enjoy the music.